So the second wave of COVID-19 pandemic has hit India very hard. Though the focus has been on immediate health response, what would be its impact on food security and hunger?
COVID second wave was extremely hard. And obviously, you know, the first response was needed on medical related humanitarian support. There were concerns related to oxygen, medical supplies, but it also has left a lot of other concern from an economic side. People have lost jobs. You know, hundreds of thousands of people have moved from the working place to back to their homes, and there has been a job loss. So the consequence of that is obviously on the livelihood and food and nutrition concern. The good thing was government has immediately responded and returned back to the support it provided during the first wave with additional 5 kilo of cereals, either rice or wheat, which has helped enormously at the household level and the individual level. That amount of support alone is not enough, because once you are stuck at home and you have no income sources, especially the poorest people, it has a serious other implications also. Overall, the situation is still evolving. So we can't still say the full consequence of this. So it is a concerning situation. And I must say, this is all not only in India, globally, as we know, during the last phase of the pandemic, there was an increase in poverty between in rural areas as well as in urban areas, and more so in urban areas, over 100 million job loss.
Union Health Minister of India had also recently pointed out that the pandemic has and will continue to have a negative impact on the hunger and food security situation, which might delay India's progress towards SDG targets as well. What is your assessment on this?
It is a global concern, and it's not a concern only in India. So therefore, I think the message here is redoubling the efforts and putting various measures to address it. And coincidentally, the UN Secretary General has called for a food system summit. So therefore, there is an opportunity for nations to come together, bring out game-changing ideas and lesson learned, and redouble the efforts. Of course, India has made a tremendous progress over the years in terms of, you know, from a food deficit country to a surplus and exporting as well. While that exists, but there is this dichotomy of quite a significant concern of malnutrition. So therefore, being aware, being prepared, and looking at it, how to respond.
The pandemic has had a disproportionate impact on women. Do you think COVID-19 has further aggravated the gender biases that already exist?
The food need for the women, especially pregnant women, children, are a bit different than other adults. And children have a special nutritional need because the mental growth is highest 2 years of the age. Now, if during this particular period we have a challenge on nourishing food with vitamin and mineral and protein, it's a threat to that growth in India and in several other countries as well. There are these concerns. A lot of times women are the, for various social reasons or other, eat the last, probably at the end, they may not have enough to eat what is required, and then therefore they don't get the adequate nutrition. Therefore, World Food Program, we advocate making sure that women have the equal access to food support. And often, actually, the World Food Program, reaches out first to women, because if women get it, she takes care of the family and provides support to the family.
So which are the other sections of the society that you think have majorly suffered in the second wave of the pandemic and battling the food crisis now?
To be honest, everyone has been affected. But for the richer people, the impact is not there, because they have the, cash resources. But the highest level of negative impact is on the poorest, the wage earners, those migrants, and also tribal communities who do not have enough of their own production or surplus. During the first phase of the lockdown, I visited a number of, tourism sites, keeping a distance and et cetera. I had some guides, tourist guide. In two locations, I went, I had them, and they say, I haven't had any income for the last 7 months. The other types of wage earner who depend on these type of opportunity, those in the restaurants, and those in the, even lower middle income person who are depending, who are working in factories, they have been also affected. So I would say the way people probably used to spend without thinking and et cetera, now you have to choose what you want to do in terms of fruits, vegetables. You choose which is cheaper, which is maybe reduce the consumption of certain foods and vegetables.
So what are some of the challenges that you think need to be addressed on the aspect of inclusion and food safety to ensure that we leave no one behind?
The wonderful thing in India is it has these, as per the food security law, these three major safety net program, the public distribution program, and then the midday meal program for students in school until like ninth grade, and the ICDS under Integrated Child Development Program. These three programs cover close to 1 billion people. So that is a fantastic thing. But there are also concern in the sense of there are people who are not part of this program. That's one challenge. Second challenging concern is, they're getting the cereal, but given they have, very limited purchasing power, or disposable income, they are not able to spend money in buying fruits, vegetables, and other things. The third thing, which is the worst at this time, is lots of people have become sick, and they have spent whatever they had in medical support, and that really cash availability has even gone down, so they are not able to buy these extra. And then third is also the other small business and other things. They have also suffered.
So how has WFP in India adapted its work on malnutrition and hunger to respond to the challenges created by COVID-19? And how are you working with the government to mitigate the impact of the second wave?
The World Food Program in India has a different role compared to the way we work in other countries. Our role is, technical advisory support and demonstrating best practices, such as working under the public distribution program to, promote targeting, and also this one nation, one card system. We are engaged in supporting that. We are also engaged in, improving supply chain logistics, delivery, and then we are working on nutrition side, promoting fortification to have diversified vitamin and mineral intake, and then working on a school meal program in various ways to improve its efficiency and effectiveness. We're also working with the in looking at climate changes and humanitarian response need and working disaster preparedness and resilience building with related government departments and civil societies. Finally, we continuously look at monitoring and assessing situation and bring evidence for a response, etc. Now, but for this particular response, working with government, we're looking at see how we can support improved nutrition among children and mothers. And the second thing we are also working on is providing complementary food support to those who have been left out and need help as a temporary measures, and also continuously assessing the situation to understand the ground evidence and realities, and cooperation with civil societies in strengthening these response and ground realities.